Good morning. How's everybody doing today? A little less snow in your face as you walk around. That feels pretty good. Three announcements for you this morning. Campus Ministries is starting up a new big group Bible study tonight over at Pillar Church, 9 o'clock in the sanctuary. LJ's coffee, homemade cookies, and tonight we're going to be talking about justice, the lineup for the rest of the semester. We're going to be talking about sex, race, pluralism, suffering, and mission. Yeah, it's a good lineup. Everyone is invited. You don't have to be a member at Pillar to come. We want you all there. We're going to answer all of your questions about these really complex, intricate, multifaceted topics in 1 hour. And if we don't, you can take that up with John Brown. Second announcement for the ladies in the room, if you want to be part of a small group Bible study with some other women on campus, why don't you join one this semester? It's just small groups of women that meet together once a week to talk about scripture and to pray. It's a great way to meet new people, to make some new friends, to build community with other Christian women on campus. So just go to our sparkly new campus ministry website, hope.edu/campusministries, and there's a little tab there that says sign up for a Bible study. Note, if you were in one last semester, you do not need to re-sign up. And the last announcement, I'm hearing some rumblings from deep within the earth about some men's night out and some women's night out that are coming up in the next couple weeks. But ladies, if you are interested in helping us to promote, to advertise for this women's night out, I want to invite you to come to a secret, top secret meeting. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 24th, before the gathering at 6:30. A couple of you guys out there know what I'm talking about, so you can ask each other what's going on, but we're going to need a lot of you to help us pull it off. So look for more information about that. Let's pray. Mighty God, we are thankful for who you are and for all that you do. God, draw us into your presence this morning. We pray. Amen. You know, when I was in college, I went to a school a lot like Hope. It was this small Christian liberal arts school. We often joked about being stuck in the bubble, and I've heard that a little bit here. I'd like to make a critique. I think in Hope, we all are stuck in the Hope snow globe. It like did not stop snowing for 4 days from every direction, like directions I didn't even know it could snow. I'm looking out my window and I'm seeing snow come up from the ground and I'm like, how is that possible? So here's to the snow globe. Welcome back. Welcome to a new semester, new classes, a new schedule, maybe some new friends. Like Trigg said on Monday, this is a new start, a new beginning. And in the gospel, we get this new beginning all the time. But this semester especially marks a new start, the beginning of a semester. And so we're going to start something new in Chapel 2, a new series on the book of James. James, this little book towards the end of the New Testament, it's got a really distinct theological voice. Maybe something like passionate, practical thoughts about life and faith. If you've never read it before, there's a lot to glean from a first reading. If you have read it before, there's a lot to unearth that maybe you've never experienced before. If you kind of peel back the layers and weave the strings together, the book of James. Written by or written in honor of James, obviously. This is a letter that can sometimes feel inspiring with all of its suggestions for how to live out our faith in Christ, but it's a letter that can also sometimes feel discouraging with all of its emphasis on work. The book of James. A letter that was welcomed into the canon by our early church fathers and mothers, beloved at some times, disregarded at others, Martin Luther actually tore out the book of James from his Bible, tossed it out, said, I don't think this matches up with my understanding of grace. James is the centerpiece of the church's conversation about social justice. It's a really important voice for liberation theologians. It's a lifeline for people who feel like they're drowning in temptation or suffering. And it's a nice bite-sized starting spot for people who want to figure out how to keep themselves from getting stagnant in their faith. So how did we get here? How did we settle on the book of James for this semester? At first, I sort of believed Paul when he said he just kind of flipped through the Bible and his finger landed on the book of James. He didn't really say that. But as I began to sink into this letter over Christmas break and unearth some of the roots that are buried under these verses, it became clear to me that the root system under James is the same root system under the Sermon on the Mount, which is what we studied last semester. And it's even the same family tree that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. So let me tell you how I see that. It starts with that scene in Galilee with Jesus on the mountainside, that scene that we all know so well, and he's talking to his followers. These are the people who don't necessarily have their lives together. Some of them are still pretty big screw-ups. Some of them still have some serious doubts about this whole religion thing. Some of them still feel pretty inadequate. Some of them are kind of crazy, maybe a little bit weird. But all of them, this whole group of people, even in light of all of their mistakes and their doubts and their insignificance and their weirdness, all of them have chosen to put their faith in this man, Jesus. They have decided that Jesus is the most important thing that they've ever come across. That Jesus changes everything. And so they gather around him now and they're listening to him teach about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a disciple, a Christian. And so that's how we get the Sermon on the Mount, what we studied last semester. If you'll remember way back when, we decided that being a follower of Jesus wasn't something that you just tacked onto your to-do list, like being an athlete in this sport or being a student in this class or being a member of this club. But being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, was the framework out of which we did all these other things. Discipleship is the framework out of which we do all these other things. So this is what Jesus is trying to get across on that mountainside right there with his disciples. And this is also what Jesus is trying to get across with his disciples as they travel together these 3 years. But then, after 3 years of walking with his disciples, Jesus is crucified and Jesus dies. And he's buried, and his disciples mourn. But even death cannot hold the Son of God back. And so on that first Easter morning, Jesus burst out of the tomb with a new reality, this resurrection, and he has a holy breakfast with his disciples on the beach. And after some time, Jesus ascends to heaven, and he leaves his disciples with the gift of the Holy Spirit and his words about mission echoing in their heads and in their hearts. So now fast forward a bunch of years, and you've got this group of disciples that has grown. They've gotten to be a big group, and they're mostly coming from a Jewish background, and they've all said that Jesus has changed everything, that Jesus is the most important thing that they've ever come across. And so they're all sitting around in this house together, maybe sharing a meal, and they're remembering what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And they're remembering what their Old Testament scripture said that they learned in the synagogue growing up, because Jesus said those were important too. And they're trying to figure out how to live their faith out in a practical, day-to-day way. And I imagine there was a lot of thinking and processing and rough drafting until finally somebody wrote down these thoughts in a letter, in this letter, the letter to James, the letter from James. This is the early church wrestling through the Sermon on the Mount. There are echoes of it all over James. This is the early church wrestling through their Jewish heritage because there's echoes of the Old Testament all over it. They're talking about how to be a Jesus follower in light of these things in everyday life. And I'll let you in on a little secret. They've wrestled well. James comes out with the same conclusion as the Sermon on the Mount. It's not about to-do lists. It's about all of us being faithful to God as the source of our being and our worth. So I want to close just with these first opening verses from the book of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let the endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. This is the word of the Lord. Go in peace.